In fact, let me remind you, and I know I brought this up in some form Friday night, but this applies to the Sunday morning fellowship too. The devil is no match for Christ in you. No match. You know why terrorists get by doing as much as they do? Because the body's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, in spirit and in truth, according to knowledge. It is never God's will for terroristic destruction to take place. It is not New Testamentally correct to pray, Lord, if it be your will, don't let terrorism come upon us. It is not God's will for terrorism to come upon anybody. You have the authority of Jesus Christ. You have the power of Jesus Christ. You have the anointing of the Anointed One. And you submit yourself to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. You cancel every demonic assignment. You take authority over every satanic intended attack against you and your people and your community and your state and your nation. And you speak to the finances, and you command the finances to be blessed. Because greater is he, again, that's in you than he that's in the world. Absolutely. All the spirit of terrorism is the spirit of Antichrist. In physical form and fashion. It's all it is. And 1 John 4:4 says, you have overcome them, little children, the spirit of Antichrist, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And I was also reminded on the way in town this morning of an Old Testament story. David facing Goliath. And David said to Goliath, you come to me with the sword. You come to me with your weaponry. You come to me with the spear. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. And today, God will deliver your head into my hands. And that's exactly what unfolded. And Israel had been paralyzed at the battle lines for weeks, afraid of the Philistine, until David went out and killed the biggest, baddest dude, the champion of all the giants of Philistia. And David took his head off and creamed his corn with a rock upside the forehead. And yes, he did. Took it and waved it around. Took his head and carried it like a carry-on bag, waving it around. And the moment that David moved in faith, the army of Israel got loosed from that spirit of fear and they charged the Philistines, who then took to flight. Hallelujah. They could have ran circles around Goliath because of being big and bulky. You know, at small measure of a cubit, he was over 9 foot tall. And at a different measure of what a cubit might have been, he could have been 10.5 foot tall. But even at the short version of 9 foot, Goliath was a big, bad hombre who was a champion warrior. But he was only a champion warrior until the right man of God got in his way. That's right. Little David. It is absolutely true. Goliath had 4 other brothers that were recorded historically in the annals of Philippians. I was going to mention that a minute ago, so you remind me. David picked up 5 rocks, and 4 of them he packed away. So he knew that even though he was capable of missing with the first rock, he knew God wasn't going to miss. And David put those 4 rocks in his pouch. He was going to take out the family of Goliath on the layaway plan, get the biggest, baddest one out of the way now, and deal with the other 4 as they stepped up. I tell you, man, and that wasn't even a born-again man of God. That was a guy that had a heart wanting the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Now, blessed are, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. There's the third type of knowledge, revelation. And he said, I say unto you, Simon Bar-Jonah, you're being transformed into being Peter, rock solid. And upon this rock of confession by revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Do you realize that by divine nature in you, hell has no authority over you in your situation? Yeah, it may have some ability to show stuff your way, but it doesn't have any authority. In fact, Jesus went on to confirm it when he said, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, the media, in the worldly media, has more than a few times declared that Muslims are the fastest growing religious group of people. No, they're not. The body of Christ is. You know, there are some nations where there's no recognizable public awareness of Muslims, but you cannot go to any nation in the world where there's not a recognizable, good-sized number of believers in Jesus Christ. If you separate every group of people, the largest group of people in one group is the body of Christ worldwide. And again, if the body of Christ comes to know who they are, are and who's in them and the authority that they have. You don't have to let terrorism terrorize. You don't have to put up with what the devil wants to do, because greater is he that's in you. The largest single group of people in the entire world. And this is heaven and earth. In fact, heaven only has Christian people. None of those other groups of people that if they're not Christian, none of them go to heaven. Heaven is densely populated already in the New Jerusalem with millions or possibly billions of believers in Jesus. And the earth is populated with probably a couple of billion, if not more, confessing believers in Jesus. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. And then Jesus said, and I give you the authority that whatever you bind on earth just ought to be what's already prohibited, bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth must be what's loosed in heaven. What that literally means is that whatever, as a believer in Jesus, as a king and a priest, whatever you permit to take place here needs to line up with what's permitted in heaven. There's no terrorism in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no fear in anybody in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, whatever you permit, whatever you allow to take place, whatever you agree to take place in earth ought to be what's modeled in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, whatever you prohibit on earth, whatever you forbid on earth, whatever you declare illegal to take place on earth, in your presence, in your realm of influence, is to be what Jesus has taken, whatever, what does not take place in heaven, what he has prohibited to take place in heaven. You know, in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. You know what he did is he deputized the body of Christ and gave them his authority in the earth. And the church is still being built upon the foundation of Jesus. And that spiritual truth cannot be overwhelmed by powers of darkness. You don't have to spend your days diseased. You don't have to spend your days depressed. You don't have to spend your days poor. You don't have to spend your days defeated. You don't have to spend your days aggravated. For the joy of the Lord lives within you. You and I ought to enjoy a joyous and an enjoyable life. Now, three types of knowledge. First of all, experience. Secondly, information. And thirdly, revelation. That's what sets you free. Revelation, revealed knowledge. Revealed knowledge is not something you learn. It's something that dawns on you by the Spirit of God. Revelation knowledge. Blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood didn't teach you this. You didn't learn that I'm the Christ. My Father spoke to you. I am the Christ, the Son of the Living. That's the knowledge that changes your destiny. That's the knowledge that changes your station and location in life. That's the knowledge that takes the written word of God as the promises of God and makes it real and revealed to you as the provision of God, as the power of God. You can have experiences that give you wrong thoughts and wrong beliefs, can't you? You know, aren't there people in the body of Christ that believes God took their loved ones? Even with a goofy mindset that he needed another flower in his garden. How stupid is that? There are people that believe that because they prayed for somebody and that the healing didn't manifest, that God's will was no, that they weren't going to be healed, and yet God's already provided healing through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Healing can never not be the will of God, but he won't force it to happen anymore, and he forces salvation to happen. But yet there are people, in fact, there are people in the body of Christ who have had bad examples modeled by their dads, and so they equate the Heavenly Father as being as flaky as the earthly dad was. Experience doesn't always reveal truth. You know, even in my 30-year experience in marriage to Sandy, you know, I have not always modeled the response of Jesus. And if Sandy hadn't known Jesus in spirit and in truth, I could have given her a pretty bad taste of Jesus or of the Heavenly Father. But because she knew the Holy Spirit in spirit and in truth, she knew that my shortcomings and that my wrong responses was not a clear spirit-led response. And so experience is not the best teacher. I shared a story Friday night about being told as a kid, don't play with electrical outlets. One day I stuck a paper clip in an electrical outlet. Well, I didn't need mom to tell me anymore why not to play with electrical outlets. I got blown clear across the living room floor, and I found out why I needed not to play with electrical outlets and sharp, shove metal things. Comes a focus. The law makes it a focus. And let's look back, clear point. The one thing God told Adam and Eve, don't do, became became their focus. And yes, they were tempted by this, by Lucifer using the body and the personage of that serpent. But the only thing God told them they couldn't do is exactly what they did. It became an irritating challenge to them. Well, that's the root of it. Yes, the mystery of iniquity is the heart and the rebellious nature of Lucifer, who tempted Eve and Adam. Speaking of Adam, he was there the whole time Eve was being tempted, and he was keeping his mouth shut until the heat came down and they lost the fellowship with God, and then he blamed, "It's that woman you gave me! That sissy dude," and man's been passing the buck and passing the blame ever since then. Yeah, the mystery of iniquity. And here you go. Lucifer was created as the perfect angelic cherub who covered. I can show you in the scripture